This midweek picks edition of the Premier League Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf and more. Sign up today at underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code PLGP to get a 100% deposit match. Plus, the NFL draft is coming up. An old-fashioned football is giving away some autographed NFL merch. Head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/OFFcontest. That's OFF contest to enter today. Welcome, everybody, to the Premier League Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I forgot the music bars, don't worry about it, you can edit that in. Today is Sunday the 21st of April. My name is Malcolm Bamford, coming to you from Newcastle upon Tyne in the northeast of England. And we are here to pick over the bones of a Premier League slash FA Cup weekend. And then we got some midweek fixtures, the six games spanning Tuesday to Thursday. Joining me is Mr. Barry Penaluna. Barry, how the hell are you?
I'm okay, Malcolm. I'm feeling a little bit deflated, I'll be honest.
Oh, shit, what's happened?
As a result of VAR just sucking the life out of football.
Yeah, I know.
This afternoon, honestly, man. Where's the fun in the game anymore? When moments like that, like one of the biggest FA Cup fucking moments ever, just absolutely snatched away because someone drew a few lines and there's a few millimetres in it.
Brilliant.
Wasn't football better when there was none of this shit? When teams like fans could just celebrate that stuff and know it was over. It's just horrible, isn't it? It's just crap. I'm sick of it. I don't like it anymore. Coventry are better off in the Championship where there's none of that shite. They could score that goal in the league and they'd be absolutely fine.
Something like that will happen soon because they'll get the Super League and then there'll be a league like the USFL or whatever they have in America where you can just make your own rules up and everyone will just go back to normal rules. And if people want to go and watch that, they can. Because for that 30 seconds, Barry, I was a Coventry fan and I was up, I was stood in the middle of the floor there going absolutely nuts. It was great. It was one of the all-timers, Barry. It was one of the absolute all-timers. I mean, we've had a great week. Any normal football fan who's not an idiot has had a great week this week with Liverpool fucking everything up. Callum, how you doing? With Arsenal fucking everything up. With Manchester City fucking up the things we wanted them to fuck up. It was been a great week. Newcastle won last week. But this today was an all-timer, wasn't it? An absolute all-timer. Like, they got beat before. Teams have caused upsets before. But nothing like that. Not to be 3-0. I've never known a semi-final where a team have won the semi-final and emerged with their reputation
in like tatters.
So far, so much further in tatters than it was to start with. Virtually impossible to do what they did today.
I'm reading articles tonight about how that game might have just lost Ten Hag his job. Ten Hag's just got them to back-to-back FA Cup finals, and now people are talking about that might be the final nail in his coffin. I mean, even Man United were embarrassed. I don't know if you've seen the clip of Hoyland going berserk when he scores the winning penalty. He turns around, looks behind him, expecting to be mobbed, and there's nobody. They're all just stood on the halfway line. Eriksen trots down at snail's pace to come. He probably feels sorry for him a little bit. The only one who really did go overboard was Antony, the fucking cheeky bastard. He turned around, giving all the fucking ears to the Coventry players. They were 3-0 up when Antony come on. He played zero part in that victory. 3-0 up, 3-3. He didn't take a penalty. And yet he's there giving it the big one like that to the Coventry players. Fuck off, man. Get down the tunnel with that shite. Absolutely pathetic.
Is that not enough to be fair, English, man?
You know, the majority of Man United players, I think, realised they'd got away with one. Man United fans, half of them left the ground not particularly celebrate. It was a bizarre one, isn't it, to think they got to the final and yet there's more Man United fans unhappy than happy, it seems. But yeah, definitely a titlist contender for Antony tonight.
I never saw that. This very second, I had the remote control in my hand. The second the ball hit the net, I turned it over onto whatever. So there was some woman moving cushions around on Channel 4. I just turned it over. I didn't want to watch a second more than I had to, because I was up and like everyone, the entire nation. It was like a bloody royal wedding. Tomorrow would have been a national day of celebration. Like, everyone was buzzing. I heard people up the street, you know, like when there's a World Cup final on. There's garden parties going on. Like, already in the chat, Lee said he was texting everybody he knows in his phone. I was just waiting to get stuck into the Spider-Man pyjamas that I know. And it just got taken away, Baz. But, I mean, Ten Hag, I think, when the second Coventry goal went in, should have resigned then. Not even the equaliser, the second one. He should have come out and said, lads, that's me done. He should have gone down the tunnel, phoned the bank, got all the money he's been paid, donated it to some daft kids or something, and then just walked off, never to be seen again. They're an absolute fiasco, Baz. It was one of the all-timers, and I can't believe, like you say, got ruled out by a toenail. It was a shocker. Absolutely devastating, mate.
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, watching the first half, I thought Coventry were really poor. I was really disappointed in Coventry, how they approached the start of the game, because they never really looked like they were going to go for it at all. I think in the first half, they had one shot on goal the whole game. And I thought, what a disappointing way to turn up to a semi-final. And then it just come from nowhere, didn't it? Because as soon as the first went in, you thought, oh, hang on. Because you know Man United have got it in them to fall apart that way. But yeah, shame how it ended, but the drama was, you know, was good entertainment for a Sunday afternoon.
I turned it off at 2-0, I think, and then just as I started watching Liverpool, as soon as I flicked it back on and I saw the Fernandes goal, turned it off again, and then I put it back and it was 3-1, and I turned it, put it back, it was 3-2, and then I left it on, and I didn't think they were going to get the penalty. I thought they were going to overturn that for a minute. I mean, we can carry on with VAR, Baz.
Yes, there's plenty of
it. We don't want to dwell on this game because there's another game to get to, which Callum's already mentioned in the chat, which was the Everton Forest game. How much of this have you seen? I mean,
I've seen a lot of it.
Have a bet on Forest to get a penalty, do you think?
Well, it let my acca down as well, Mal. I needed both teams to score 4 games. The only team that didn't score was Forest. 3 penalties they could have had today. But yeah, it all kicked off afterwards, didn't it? The official Forest Twitter account.
That's brilliant.
Hashtag trending on Twitter tonight is VAR is a Luton fan. As the official, I think Marinakis got his hands on the Forest Twitter account, didn't he? And said they'd complained before the game about the referee their VAR being a Luton fan, and therefore shouldn't manage them. Nuno Espirito Santo used the conspiracy word. I keep telling you all season, I hate the conspiracy word. Every fan in football thinks there's a conspiracy against their team. And now Nuno's feeding into that. He used the word, he did say, abroad fans would be calling this a conspiracy. I'm not saying it's a conspiracy, but people would say this is a conspiracy, and that feeds into it. Penalty, handball, definitely for me. And
I thought all three were.
The foul was the first foul, definitely. Third one, bit more borderline potentially. But how they didn't get at least one of those is an absolute travesty. And it's not just that game. We should talk about that Man City one yesterday, because how that's not a penalty against Grealish as well.
I haven't seen that. I was working yet last
night. Hand ball in the box, and his hand's up here, and he just brings it down to the ball. And it deflects off and goes out for a corner, no pen. VAR looked at it, don't give it. And you just look at that one, and you look at the Ashley Young one today, and the nearest comparison one I could think of was the one Man United got last week against Bournemouth, which was fucking soft.
God, yeah.
And that's the problem, isn't it? Because the referee straight away pointed to the spot there. We had no video angles to show us on that one, ironically. And yet this one, nothing to see, crack on, or two of them. You know, the Man City-Chelsea one, it's a 1-0 game at the end of the day. Cole Palmer scores from this spot every week. If he'd have got it, he'd have put money on him, score. And just, it's garbage-like.
But some stuff being right, some stuff being wrong is fine. We've said this. Because you know what that is, Baz? It's refereeing. It's what refereeing's always been. What? Yep. There's no difference now, except we've got a whole layer of shit to go through to still get it wrong. Do you remember what we called it? It should be called ABO, another bloke's opinion. Because that's all it is. You might just let the first bloke fuck it up. So you don't need another one to fuck it up. I like pointing at these blokes wherever I'm pointing at. Just let him fuck it up, because I don't know why you have to have another one. The entire thing's absolutely baffling.
But is there ever a way back from this?
And it hurts the game and the sport and the experience of it. Like I say, how many decisions down the years have we sit and dwelt upon to the point it's ruined your enjoyment of the game and had a real effect on stuff? I remember Terry Henry's handball for France knocked Ireland out. That was a bad one. And I remember, and people don't even talk about this, Chelsea scoring an offside goal that won the league at Man United or stopped Man U winning the league or something. But even then, people just got on with their life, didn't they? So, what? Yeah. It's not that bad, is it? Like,
it's not as bad as it is now. No. I mean, do you think there's ever a way back? Do you ever see a day where we go back to football without this shit? Because I think if you asked everybody now, if you went back to all of the teams in the Premier League and all of the fans and said, look, we've tried this for a few years now. What do you reckon? Should we stick with it? Everyone would say no. I'm sure they would. I'm sure the vast majority would. Hearing the Championship are thinking about introducing it. Surely the clubs in the Championship are looking at the Premier League and just saying, no, let's just leave this. Like, let's just, as it is, it's fine. Because there's no less controversy in the last couple of years since we've had VAR than there was before it. And it just takes the fun out of it. That's the big thing, is nobody knows. I said to you last week with that Isak goal where he stalked in his own half. I didn't celebrate it because to me, he looked offside and I thought, this is coming back. So you're celebrating it a few minutes later when you've seen a replay of it, whereas before you could just crack on. I mean, I would say that Coventry one, for example, today, even if we didn't have VAR, it's very possible the linesman might have put his flag up anyway. It could have been one of theirs where he kept it down in the benefit of letting the game flow. Although I think if he did do that, they're supposed to then put the flag up when the goal goes in. I don't think he did in that case. But it could have changed things. If he didn't know he had VAR to fall back on, maybe he would have flagged and it wouldn't have made a difference in that game. But it's just spoiling it for me. I just hate it. I'd rather...
As an example, Baz, while we've had VAR on the Prem, how many incorrect decisions can you remember out of the Championship at the same period of time that have affected anything? Can you name one now? Oh, that was terrible. That tackle by that Chef Wed player. I can't remember any. So they've obviously happened. Things have got wrong. But it doesn't matter. You just get on with it. Everyone's just got on with it. Like, we've got on with it for 150 years. The Championship's fine. Everything else is fine. It is. I agree with you. And I knew it would sound like old farts. The only way back I can see is some sort of weird breakaway, like an old-fashioned league. You know what I mean? Say, right, this is what we're going to do. But might be a long way off. In terms of the picks, Baz, I did all right. Four, lost three on the Prem. I knew one of my Prem picks was Wolves, and about 12 hours after I'd done the show and picked Wolves, I saw all the injury news. Wolves were never, ever going to be in it. So that was a one down the pan. So I don't mind losing that one. I picked three money lines, Baz, and they won 5-1, 4-1 and 3-1. So I was buzzing. The Saturday afternoons made me laugh. In a little nutshell, this tells you what gambling is or what our show is. There was two games at 3 o'clock on Saturday. I picked Burnley. I was over the moon. Great pick. Analysed it correctly. I thought they were unlucky not to win the week before. Vince and company's correct. They've been the better team. 6-4, they were a great price. And I'm sitting there thinking, what a great judge of this I am. That's a beautifully well-worked-out pick. There's your winner at 6-4. I'll just check the other score where I picked Luton Town to win. And they're getting beat 5-1. You know, so what a terrible judge. So in a nutshell, that's where it just turns out, Barry, maybe nobody knows shit after all.
On the subject of those 3 o'clock games, I slated them on TikTok yesterday morning. I said, I'm not even going to watch these 3 o'clock games. I went out shopping. I had to go and buy some keeper gloves. That was my job for yesterday afternoon. So I did that during the 3 o'clock because I thought, who wants to watch Luton v Brentford or Sheffield United v Burnley? As it turns out, there was 11 goals in the two games. So maybe I should have stayed around and watched. I got the Burnley one right. Both teams to score over 2.5. But like you, I took Luton and absolutely made a mess of that one.
And my Acker won, Baz. We keep saying that my Ackers never win. I can't believe Lee actually bet on it. I didn't realise it had won until we got that Twitter notification today. Crystal Palace, Burnley and Aston Villa, 9-1, Bosch. So if I can keep picking up one of those every 9 weeks, I'm still in the game. Bob's team won the County Cup yesterday, Baz, 5-0. My question to you is, you should get this, Barry. Which Premier League footballer with over 300 Premier League appearances and appearance in World Cup final, whose son was playing in the opposition yesterday against Bob?
Beardsley.
Incorrect. I think you went to school with him. There's another clue.
Shola.
Yes, no. Is the right answer.
Of course, World Cup. Yeah.
Amiobi appeared in the World Cup.
I thought you were going to say who presented the trophies, and I thought it's going to be either Shola or Peter Beardsley.
Shola's kid was playing for the opposition. I explained to Bob, Shola was there. I said, well, that's Shola Amiobi. His kid was playing on the right wing. And Bob said, he was shit. And I said, all right, chill out. Give the lad a break. Bob came on at half-time, minced about for 10 minutes, twisted his ankle and went back off again. So that was the end of that. But he still wore his medal in the pub for 6 hours. A bit like Anthony. He did an Anthony today. He had absolutely nothing to do with it. But he was happy to take the plaudits. Right, I think we're ready to go, Baz. 6 games this week. Let's first tell you about where we're going. The Stanley Cup playoffs this weekend start. The puck drops, Barry, apparently. In the Hockey Gambling Podcast, I've got you covered. Talon, Ryan and Joel breaking down every series leading up to Saturday's opening games. That was yesterday. So, yeah, get involved. Picks and laughs. Apparently, they're funny guys. Subscribe to the Hockey Gambling Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. The NBA playoffs are here as well. Busy time for you, US D-gens. Our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, are making it a lot more interesting. It is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. The picking game is dead easy to play. Pick higher or lower on any player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and plenty more. You can mix your sports as well. It doesn't have to be all basketball. You can stick a few baseball, football props in there as well. Underdog available in over 30 states, including California, Texas, and even places in Canada. James, get involved. There's a pick 'em special available. That'll go live in the lobby for eligible new customers that sign up using our promo code PLGP. Underdog will double your first deposit as well with that. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code PLGP. Right. Tuesday, 8 o'clock, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. This is a good-looking game. Arsenal are 11-20, minus 180. I've got the both teams to score. Mark, it'll be because I was picking Miaka later on. There we go. Arsenal 11-20, minus 180. The draw 16-5, plus 320. Chelsea are out to 5-1. They've drifted a little bit from earlier on. They were plus 475, so quarter of a point drift. Arsenal won 2-0 at Wolves. We didn't learn too much about it. Game they should have won. The only thing with how Arsenal played was how they're going to react. Were they going to fall in a hole? And actually, they didn't. They did really well. 6 away games, Baz, with a clean sheet in the league for Arsenal, which is quite impressive. Both teams to score, no, has hit 6 out of the last 7. 4 out of the last 5 have gone under 2.5. And then you factor Chelsea in, and it's all completely and utterly the other side. So it's really, really hard. Chelsea look like they're getting their act together, Baz. They're still a bit random. They had that 2-2 at Sheffield United a couple of weeks ago. The Everton 6-0, but even that was tinged with a little bit of madness. But 4 wins and 4 draws in their last 8. And possibly should have beat City in the cup from what I heard. I listened to the radio. I was driving out to Barnard Castle. And I listened to the radio, and they did seem to miss some chances. You'll be able to confirm that. But maybe the killer instinct again, Baz, a bit similar to the Liverpool League Cup final. Like, they've got to do a little bit better in those situations. Like I say, the other side of the coin than Arsenal, only 1-10 with both teams to score, no. And it's been the same with the unders, 1-10. So that cancels out those Arsenal trends. Four of their last five games have been at home for Chelsea, where they are better. And they have failed to win at Sheffield United. They failed to win at Brentford. They got a nice 1-1 at City. I wouldn't rule out Chelsea springing a shock here. Chelsea are the sort of team who will go and can go and beat anybody. They've proved it this year already. But I found a pick, Barry. Chelsea have scored a first-half goal in seven games in a row. Gained some decent oppo in there as well. That's a nice little stat, isn't it? Chelsea to score one or more first-half goals is 11-8 plus 137.
Nice, like it. Something a little bit different.
Thank you.
Fairly comfortable return to winning ways for Arsenal yesterday, even though the second goal did come late. I think they always look to have that one under control. That was against a pretty banged-up Wolves side. As you say, you took Wolves, and yeah, I could see why you wouldn't really want any part of that once you see all the players they had missing. They've been struggling for a few weeks now with injuries, Wolves. And we'll come to them in a little bit, next game up on the slate, so we'll talk about them next. But Arsenal coming up against the resurgent Chelsea side. The 1-0 defeat to City yesterday was their first in nine in all competitions. In league form, unbeaten in eight. You've mentioned four wins, four draws. And the performance yesterday against City was generally good. And again, away versus City in the league, where they got a 1-1. And that tells me that can cause Arsenal trouble here. They should have definitely got on the score sheet a few times yesterday. Lee had put it in the chat on the last episode. Cole Palmer shots on target. I was on it. And I know Lee was on it. We went over 1.5. You were getting 5-2 for Palmer to have over 1.5 on target yesterday. He got that within half an hour. And then he stopped there. He should have had a penalty. We should have got 7-8-1 for his third shot. But we didn't get there. But they created enough. The problem was most of the chances fell to Nicholas Jackson. And he's a little bit shit, isn't he? They had more shots on target than City. They had a higher XG than City. But it's that problem in front of goal, isn't it? The final third, Jackson, Sterling, Madueke, Mudrick, just not contributing enough. And they're becoming very reliant on Palmer to do the business. But I think Chelsea are attempting price here for a team that aren't losing many games at the moment. As you say, they are starting to show signs of getting into a bit of a swing. And at 5-1, I think they're a fair price here. I've gone a bit safer just because I've had a couple of ropey weeks where I'm sort of scraping a bit through the weeks.
Oh, you got the fear,
man. I've got the fear. I'm betting scared, as you say, scared of losing. So I've gone for Chelsea on the handicap. I do want Chelsea here, but Chelsea plus one on the Asian handicap with Bet365 is just a touch over evens. It's about 21-20. So that pushes even if Arsenal win by one and we cash if Chelsea get anything from this game. If I was a bit bolder, I might have took Chelsea or even Chelsea double chance. But I'll take the plus one, give me a little bit of a safety net. Still getting over evens for that. But I think Chelsea will play a part in this.
Don't like you running scared, Barry. Need a little pep talk. Come on, pull yourself together. We need bold, Barry. I mean, I'm the one who builds. I do the groundwork, Baz. You're up there with the ladders and all the... You're throwing horseshoes at the moon here while I'm in the trenches at the coal face, picking out 3-4 shots. We need a bit more from you. Wednesday, 2:45 Eastern, is Wolves against Bournemouth. Wolves are 14-9 plus 155. Ooh, flip-flopped here. These teams have flip-flopped, Baz. Wolves were favourites about 3 hours ago. And they are now the underdogs. So Wolves are now 8-5 plus 160. The draw 5-2 plus 250. Bournemouth were plus 160 and now plus 155. So Wolves were 5-point favourites. Bournemouth are now 5-point favourites. Barry, can you split them?
I'm frantically looking to check my bet to see if I'm getting a better price now. It turns out my bet is exactly the same price as it was 3 hours ago. It's not an easy one, this one. Neither team in good form. Wolves no win in six. Bournemouth have now failed to win in three. But I just think of the two of them, I feel like Bournemouth may just have a little bit more about them at the moment. They were unlucky not to beat Man United last week. The recent win over Palace starts to look better when you see what Palace have done since, beating Liverpool, hammering West Ham today. And Wolves have been hit hard by injuries. If Wolves were fully fit coming into this, I'd give them more of a sort of chance here. But they've become hard to back at the moment, Wolves. So I couldn't go there. Bournemouth have scored now in 8 successive games. Wolves have got no clean sheet in 8 successive games. So the first thing that cropped on my radar was potential team total for Bournemouth. Can they get 2 goals? But what I discovered with Bournemouth was their goals in the first half, or in particular, scoring first.
Okay.
Bournemouth have actually scored first in 5 straight games now. So even in defeats to Villa and Luton, they've taken the lead. They also scored first against Man United, Palace, Everton. So good form there for Bournemouth getting on with Mark. I favour Bournemouth in this game as well, as it happens. But I can get 4-5 for Bournemouth to score the first goal here. I think it's a decent pick looking at the recent form for the two sides.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting. But this was tricky. I mean, obviously, the books have got them really close. And I found it really hard as well. I thought Wolves did okay last night. I watched the highlights. And they'd made a couple of chances to hit the beans early on, didn't they? Bournemouth did okay for a bit today with a better team, which I think was fair enough. They got it Villa in the first 25, 30 minutes with Villa coming off that Thursday night game physically and emotionally. I think that was a good time to get at them and got themselves in front with a penalty. But then Villa eventually hunted them down. It's hard to take Wolves. I couldn't take Wolves. There's just too many unknowns. You don't know who's going to be back, if anybody. It looks like a 2-1 either way, Barry. But I'll come back to Bournemouth later in the show. But it's a lazy pick, Baz. It's both teams to score with over 2.5. Somebody wins 2-1, but I don't want to be on the wrong side if whichever team it is wins 2-1. So I'll take the both teams to score over 2.5. That's drifted a little bit from earlier. It was 3-4, and it's now out of 4-5. So that's a working man's price, Baz.
Well, you say it's a lazy pick, Malcolm. I had 2 of those this weekend, and they both won. Burnley, Sheffield United, Coventry, Man United. So they're both teams.
I feel like it's the pick I make when I can't make a pick. Because you fucking got a chance, haven't you? It's like it's heads or tails. I just think, I can't work this out. I'm not good enough to work this out. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll say that. I just feel like it's a cop out. But legitimately, like I say, you've hit 2 out of 2. Right. Okay. Where are we going? 8 o'clock on Wednesday. The Toon are in action. Line movement here as well. Plenty line movement. Crystal Palace were 2-1. Are now into 17-10 plus 170 by virtue of humping West Ham. 13-5 the draw plus 260. Newcastle were 5-4 plus 125. Are now 7-5, that looks like, plus 140. So Newcastle drift a little bit. Yeah, Palace thrashed West Ham. They took advantage of what was a horror spot for West Ham. Factoring they're at the shite anyway, West Ham. So you talk about conspiracies, Baz. All I saw on Friday and Saturday before the football started was West Ham fans made clips of the officials from the other night. That was a conspiracy. Everyone who gets beat now is a conspiracy. So West Ham were at that. Imagine if it was Spanish officials, maybe. They want Leverkusen to win the cup, but not West Ham. But it was an awful spot for West Ham, and Palace took full advantage. And who scored all the goals are the important players, if he says. It was Elise, then it was Eze. Mateta got involved. Our guest wasn't Mitch. Andrew, the other night, he picked Jordan Ayew. He picked the only one who didn't score. Palace win 5-2. And poor Andrew was on the wrong pick, got the wrong one. I said on Wednesday night that I think Palace can go on a little run. Pressure's off, handbrake's off. They've got their good players back. The fixtures look winnable. I would like them against most teams in the league. But Newcastle's hard because Newcastle are in good form, Baz. I sat and watched them last week and you can't get away from how great they were. They're scoring goals again. They're defending properly. So all the results here are on the table. No result would surprise you at all, would it, Baz? But I do think Newcastle can score goals. West Ham got 2 today and they were dog shit and uncompetitive. Gordon and Isak, we said, are playing really well. It's an over 1.5 team total for Newcastle, and that's an even money, Baz. A 2-2 draw is not out of the question here, Barry, but I can't take a side. But I do think Newcastle can get 2 goals.
Yeah, so I mean, this one suddenly looks a bit more difficult for Newcastle, doesn't it? Having looked ahead at Newcastle's fixtures a few weeks ago, I was looking and thinking, we've got a great run in here. Got Palace, Burnley, Sheffield United. Yeah, I think that's right. Anyway, you know, you look at the last 2 weeks and suddenly you're sort of filled with a few doubts. You mentioned last week, and you mentioned again, getting their best players back out on the pitch at the same time. Crucial to Palace, and it showed today. Eze, Elise, Mateta, all on the score sheet. I put all three in my fantasy football this week. Just I played my free hit this week because we've got loads of double games. So Palace with two games, I wanted three Palace players in. So 39 points from Eze, Elise, and Mateta today was a bit of a bonus. Not so good was Salah as my captain, but he has got another midweek fixture. He got me 1 point from the bench today.
Well done.
Yeah, a little. It's been a rough season for FPL for me. We will have to come back there. Maybe it's on the midweek show. I'll have a look. And we'll look.
We've done a terrible job of keeping up to date with that league, Barry. A really appalling job.
We'll bring it back up because somebody's up there at the top just waiting for a shout out, aren't they, at the moment?
Yeah.
So we will pick it up again soon. But anyway, as you say, they did let a couple in. So there's hope for Newcastle at the other end where we know we do our best stuff. And regardless of the Palace form, like you, I don't want to fade Newcastle at the moment because they are in good form. They've got defeats to Arsenal and Man City recently, Chelsea. But beyond that, I think in the league it's just two defeats in 11 now. That'll be the Chelsea and the Arsenal ones, the Man City ones in the cup. So yeah, I don't want to fade Newcastle. And like you, I didn't want to pick a winner because I do think all outcomes are on the table. Wouldn't surprise me at all if Palace go and nick this a 3-2 or something as well. But I've gone for the exact same pick. Newcastle goals, two or more at evens. Palace have conceded two or more in four of their last six. Newcastle have scored two or more in four of their last six. And Newcastle haven't been shut out for 14 straight games now as well. So it feels like we'll always get the one. Can we go and get the second? Failed with this one against Everton, hopefully not today. Same pick as you, Malcolm. Palace v Newcastle. Newcastle team total over 1.5 at even money.
Nice, Bazza. 8 o'clock on Wednesday continues with a Merseyside derby. We have Everton taking on Liverpool. Everton are 6-1. Big drifters, Everton, today. Drifted from +475 out to +600. The draw is Burnley and Bertie, 100-30. And Liverpool are 9-17, -188. They're not anymore. They're about -222 now, shorter than 1-2. So obviously the book's not impressed by Everton today, Barry. Were you?
Not really, no.
No, rush out.
Although I was totally unimpressed with Forrest as well, I would have to say. I mean, 3 points, that edges them closer towards safety, so they'll take it. Back-to-back home wins, both coming against fellow strugglers. But they have only lost two of their last eight home games now. And they've got some good draws in there. They drew against Spurs, drew against Villa. Can they get anything here from Everton, from Liverpool? The home record in the head-to-heads isn't that bad for Everton. They don't win many, but they don't lose many. Liverpool have won only one of the last six at Goodison Park. Five draws in the last six. 3-0-0 draws in the last six. So I was sort of teetering here thinking, can I make a case for Everton or double chance? Or do I take a draw based on that home head-to-head form? But ultimately, I didn't want to get carried away with Everton win over Burnley and Forest because they still aren't very good. And Liverpool are getting back to full strength now. I still don't think they're firing on all cylinders. But they've got Jota back in the team. He got on the score sheet today. They were able to... I was a bit surprised at the lineup today. Salah, Darwin, McAllister, Soboslai, Jones, Konate was all on the bench today for Liverpool. So it suggests they should have some fresh legs coming into this one. I can't make a case for Everton. Liverpool, I don't think, are going to end their title hopes here at Goodison Park. They'll win by two or more. I'll take Liverpool on the handicap, -1.5. It was 5-4 earlier on. It might have shortened just a little. But Liverpool on the handicap for me at 5-4.
Absolutely agree with you, Baz. And the body of evidence built up already, and then solely on what my eyeballs saw today, Everton were minging, absolutely minging. Like, the two of the scruffiest goals, the XG on those shots, it's been about -1.3. Like, two 25-yarders that bounced 16 times in off the post, while Forest repeatedly weren't given penalties. You're right, Forest were rubbish. Any team worth a salt would have taken Everton apart today. Forest didn't create enough. They looked like it, but they couldn't put it together when it counted. Everton were absolutely awful. And I'm not sure they'll have a striker, by the way. Calvert-Lewin was feeling his hamstring and fannying on most of the game, as per usual. And then Beto, I turned the game off by this time, but I see Beto got carried off on a stretcher with... What did he do, Baz?
Clash of heads, he won't play midweek, no chance.
Right. So I'm not even sure they'll have a striker, which might do them a favour. They might find something else to do rather than the usual shit. But they're absolutely crap. And Liverpool were comfortable. I was disappointed with Fulham today. I got lucky with my Fulham bet. We said it was the bet builder bet. It was corners, goals, saves. It was everything. And I picked a market that landed Fulham shots. And you picked a market that didn't, Liverpool shots. But there was no rhyme or reason to it. That's a huge part of analysing the game, and that you still have to land on the right bet. Because we did the same thing, Barry, and picked two different bets, and mine squeezed in, and yours was squeezed out. So there's a huge slice of luck with that. But solely on today's evidence, Liverpool are two goals better than them. They have to be. Like, I don't. It's a nice price as well, 13 to 10, plus 130. It's a team ride from us. It's a team ride from the chat as well. Everyone likes the Liverpool handicap, I think. Next up, this is the penultimate game on the show. We get to talk about Man United again. That'll cheer everyone up. 8 o'clock on Wednesday, Manchester United take on Sheffield United. Manchester United are 7-25, -357. The draw's 19-4, +475. Sheffield United are 10-1. What do you do with this one? So Man United, shambles today, absolute shambles. They didn't have to do much to get in front, but they did have to do much to somehow throw away that lead. I've no idea how that's even possible. Like, they've got no win in four in the league. They've only won one in seven, and they've only won 8 of 15 at home. The last home win, the last win was a 2-0 home win against Everton, which isn't a bad comparison here. Sheffield United. What a weird game that was yesterday. Sheffield United were by far the better team against Burnley for half an hour. And then Burnley scored two of the worst, horriblest goals. Talked about Everton's two goals today. Burnley's two goals were manky yesterday as well. And then all of a sudden, the game's out of Sheffield United's hand. But without winning at all, Sheffield United, they haven't been awful away from home. They've covered a few handicaps for us over recent weeks. So, I scoured loads of markets for this because it's horrible. You've got a really short price favourite that I don't want anything to do with. I can't take Sheffield United. I think Manu will win, Baz, but I think they'll make a lot of changes. There could be a few kids out there. I think they'll win, but they'll win tight and they'll win scrappy. And under 3.5 goals, Barry, is a great price. 18 to 19, so round about even money, -105. Manu will win 2-0 or 2-1. I can't see. Sheffield United won't chip in. They might chip in with one because Manu can't defend, like. But Manu won't get low. There's no one coming out of this with any credit in this game. Under 3.5 goals, 18 to 19, -105.
Under 3.5?
Yeah.
It's all right, that. Not bad. Not
you
bad.
Like that? I thought you might like that, Baz.
What price you got Man United at now? Current markets?
7-25, -357.
That's hilarious, isn't it? No, thank you. -350 a little earlier when I looked. Wasn't having any of that. You just can't trust this bunch of players with Man United. You can't back them, regardless of whether they win or not. I just don't think you can back them. Would you want to stick Man United in an acre at 2-7, even against Sheffield United? Not a chance. Something isn't right in that camp. They aren't playing for Ten Hag. There's too many players with shit attitudes, lack of effort. I mean, we're like an opportunity to take the piss out of Man United, Malcolm. But I think even Man United fans at the moment will agree, you just can't trust them. Impossible at the moment. We've got a patched up defence, can't stop leaking goals. They've conceded 15 in the last six games now. That would be the only thing that would concern me a little bit on the unders. Is Sheffield United can definitely score. If Coventry can score three against them, Sheffield United can get on the score sheet. I think it doesn't matter at this point who Man United are playing. I have to find a way of trying to fade them because they're capable of being turned over by anyone. Anyone that just turns up with a touch more effort, passion, desire has got a chance against Man United. That said, though, they aren't losing many. I think they've no win in six now inside 90 minutes, looking at cup games as well. But that includes the draws against, who was it, Chelsea? No, sorry.
Yeah.
Was it Chelsea in the... I can't remember. Anyway, they've got a couple of draws there somewhere. Cup games against Coventry, sorry, and Liverpool were the two I was thinking of. Chelsea, the only team to actually beat them recently, and that was in dramatic fashion late on, coming from behind. So I think it's hard to take Sheffield United to win here, even at 10-1, not least because Sheffield United don't win games either. Nine games now since they last won anything. But I just want to factor them in. They've drawn three of the last six. Fulham, Chelsea and Bournemouth games have shown that they're a bit more competitive recently than they were when they were getting battered fives and sixes every week. I thought about taking the draw just because there's been quite a few draws for both of these sides recently. But then I looked at the handicap. I like the handicap for Sheffield United, plus 1.5. And the Backers family have already put this in the chat as their pick as well. Man United have only beaten the team by two clear goals once in the last 12 games. So Sheffield United can stay within a goal here and will cash a winner. Man United can win 1-0 or 2-1, like you've mentioned. You can cash yours, I'll cash mine. I think, personally, I'd back anyone to score past Man United at the moment. And if Sheffield United get one, it might be enough. Pick is Sheffield United plus 1.5 on the handicap. I've got it here at 11 to 10 plus 110.
Have you seen any crack about Onana with an extra yellow card today? Because he did a Martinez. Having never seen it in my life. I've seen it twice in 3 days. Does he miss the final?
Oh, I don't know about that.
That's what my question is.
Potentially, because Martinez is missing the next game. But yes. I don't know if that was an accumulation of cards in the tournament rather than the two in that game. I don't know. He might miss the FA Cup finally. He might be right there. But yeah, it was bizarre because we've never ever seen that scenario that happened in that Villa game. And then today, Onana gets his second yellow card in the penalty shootout and nobody blinks an eyelid because we're all sitting there thinking, well, it doesn't count. That yellow card doesn't carry forward. So it's through the week, we're all there going, he's got to be off. He's got to send him off. Suddenly we're all experts and we all know the rule of a penalty shootout yellow card and how it works. Lee in the chat says United fans are hoping Onana misses the FA Cup final. But yeah, strange that came up again so soon.
One more game here on the card. This game is on Thursday night, so possibly, Baz, we might have a bit of a live watch along here. We could watch the second half maybe. Brighton against Manchester City, 8 o'clock kickoff on Thursday. Brighton are 5-1. Draw 15-4 plus 375. Manchester City 9-20 minus 222. Go for it.
Yeah, City are now on a run of, it's 30 games since they last lost a game in any competition. 29 games unbeaten at the moment. And whilst they haven't been as rampant as they were last season, nowhere near the same levels as last season, that's still impressive form not to lose a game in that period of time. They've kept at it whilst falling behind. They've kept the pressure on the others and put themselves firmly back in the driving seat as Arsenal and Liverpool slipped up. Just waiting in the wings, weren't they, for Arsenal and Liverpool to slip up. So it's now, can they go and hit that run and nick it? I think they'll probably continue it here. They've won four, drawn two of their last six games in the league. The two draws come against Arsenal and Liverpool, though. The four victories, Man United, Villa, Luton, Palace, all came by two or more goals. And Brighton seem to have lost their way a little bit. Just one win in seven league games for Brighton. Defeats to Arsenal and Liverpool recently, again, they're sort of palatable. You can take them. But they were well beaten by Fulham, 3-0. They failed to beat two of the struggling sides in Brentford and Burnley. And the home form, definitely better at home. They'd gone on a good streak, about 14 games unbeaten. But Arsenal went there and won 3-0, fairly comfortable. Barely sort of had any trouble at all in that game. Arsenal have beat them twice already this season. City are going for a double over them this season. And I think City will do it. I think City will win here. And I think they can win by two or more, like Arsenal did a couple of weeks ago. That's at 11-10. So that was my initial thought, was the City handicap. Problem with City is they concede every week. So there's every chance they might need three goals. And you can get a slightly bigger price for the City three goals. So that's where I've ended up going. Rather than take the handicap and have a risk on the Brighton side of it, I'll take City to score three or more here at 6-5, just like Arsenal managed to a few weeks ago. So the pick, Brighton v Man City, is Man City team total over 2.5 goals at 6-5, plus 120.
Oh, Barry.
On the other way.
Under 2.5 goals. We did this last Wednesday. We did this last Sunday, didn't we? I got laughed out the place. I should have done it. But they've played the City Chelsea. We've just seen it again. City Chelsea 1-0.
You can't come in here giving it the big one about that one, Malcolm. When you tried it the week before and you'd lost by 20 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got to take the rough with the smooth. Sometimes you're right, you're wrong.
Because I'm getting plus 137, but so if I win one and lose one, I'm 37 pence up on the transaction every week. I can sit back here, let the 37 p's roll in, Barry, no problem.
When you lose this week, you're 63 pence down.
But I'm not, and this is my point, if you allow me to explain this scientific handicap. Brighton are rested. They've had a big old break. Manchester City are the opposite. All their legs have fallen clean off. It's dangerous, according to Pep. If they play any more football, dangerous. It's like eating a risotto without ketchup. Dangerous. Shouldn't be done. Brighton are shite, however. 1-7. Terrible form. Failed to beat Burnley, Brentford, Fulham, Everton. I don't fancy them at all. But City really hard to peg down. The two examples being a 3-3 against Madrid and a 1-0 against Chelsea. They played extra time twice. I don't know if Haaland's going to be back either. Unknown return date when I investigated that earlier on. Brighton, having at the start of the season been goals galore, and now the opposite. They are no goals galore. Both teams to score. No, in plenty of their games. And four of the last seven have gone under 2.5. Like I say, I took that under 2.5. I should have stuck to it, Barry, because there's plenty of them kicking around. There's plenty of them. There's more than one in two. 37 pences. You'll be able to hear me coming, Baz, down the street. I'll be jingling and jangling. What's that noise? So 37 pence, Bamford, because I'm going to do it again this week, Baz. Especially because the odds are just wrong. Under 2.5. It's 7-4, Barry. I'm winning 75 pence this week. Jesus, I've got more money than sense. Under 2.5 goals, 7-4, plus 275, plus 175 even. Yeah, there you go. Stop shaking your head. Picks in the book. Did you pick some exotics, even though it was just a short little card? I bet you did.
Of course I did.
Go on then. Tell us what they are.
With kickoff earlier, I mentioned Bournemouth score the first goal in every game they play at the moment, or five in a row. Solanke was the one to score the first goal in three of those five. So I'll take Solanke as my scorer, 8-5 anytime, 5-1 first scorer. My underdog's going to be Chelsea at 5-1 to beat Arsenal.
Nice.
I think they'll just be competitive in that game, and I think the live dogs at 5-1. So I'll go for Chelsea. My acca is Liverpool and City to win. So two of the bankers there at around about 1-2 each away from home. City and Liverpool win. And then Arsenal go and blow it. Rule themselves out of this title race. Chelsea double chances, the third selection on my acca. That gets 4-1. So Liverpool and City win. Arsenal don't win. 4-1.
Okay, nice, Baz. I need some guidance on you for my underdog, because Bournemouth were an underdog at plus 160. And Wolves were plus 155. And now the flip-flop the other way, Baz. So what do I do?
Well, they're not underdogs.
There might be somewhere. Hang on. In fact, if they're underdogs on Sky Bet, I'm having them. It's only what I'm going to write. Football.
Just stick Bournemouth out as your underdog.
Hang on. Let's have a look here. Premier League, Wednesday. Wolves 8-5. What price is that? Bournemouth 6-4. Shit. I'm having taken Bournemouth. They'll make a drift. I'll get them on the exchanges, Baz. Underdogs. Anytime goal scorer, I just mentioned that Haaland might be out. So I think Alvarez is a cheeky little pick. 6-1 to score first and last, 7-4 to score any time for Manchester City. And my accumulator on the back of a 9-1 winner this week, Barry, is both teams to score on Tuesday and Wednesday, not on Thursday, Barry, not Brighton versus Manchester City. So the Arsenal-Chelsea game on Tuesday, the four games on Wednesday, both teams to score in all of them will get you a little 9-1 winner, Baz. But I'm leaving Brighton Man City out because Man City are going to win 2-0. You having that?
That's all right. I just found it a bit odd that you'd pick your scorer from the game that you think will be under 2.5 goals.
That's how good a judge I am. I can do stuff like that. I'm like a surgeon, Barry. Honestly.
It's almost like when you picked Atlanta to win and Liverpool to qualify. It's similar to that, really.
And what happened? Did they get knocked out?
Neither of those picks happened, was the answer.
But did Liverpool get knocked out? The idea of those bets, Barry, wasn't to win any money. Oh, no. It was to make sure Liverpool were out of that competition. So I did that like a surgeon. Anything you want to tell us about, Baz, in the 6 minutes before I've got to record the MLB show, so be quick about it.
I take it you're saving your sick child story for another day.
Still not sure about it, Baz. I don't know what to do. The more you mention it, the more it's going to become a thing. Like, I'll tell you what, I'll establish how poorly the kid is, right?
And well, if you said we this think last
I know, but I've only seen it right, anyway. Yeah, I'll establish. I'll do some more homework. Otherwise, yeah, let's not make it a thing. Right, thanks, Baz. Well done, everybody, on your picks this weekend. Finished ahead. Thanks, everyone in the chat. Barry, Wednesday, Thursday, probably Thursday night, maybe. We'll watch a little bit of Brighton Man City, shall we, and give the picks for the weekend.
Why not?
Right, let's do that. Appreciate everyone. Do the usual things that we ask you to do. If you wouldn't mind, it's very kind of you. But until then, good luck. Enjoy your Premier League games. We'll see you down the road. Cheers.